Smyrna. Smyrna, the second church addressed, was only about 50 miles from Ephesus, and doubtless knew of the conditions of the central church of Asia Minor. But as it was not a great trade center, many of the perplexities with which Ephesus had to contend were not present in Smyrna. Its members were poor, but still they worked earnestly for others. The wealth of Ephesus was one of the greatest drawbacks to the spirituality of that church. But Smyrna, though poor in worldly goods, was rich in the eyes of the Lord. Through false teachers, claiming to be the children of God, persecution came to those who wished to follow the teachings of Christ. The true Jew is an heir by faith of the inheritance promised to Abraham. But many pride themselves on the inheritance of the flesh. Such belong to the synagogue of Satan. For righteousness by works is the devil's counterfeit of the Lord's plan of salvation through faith alone in the merits of the Son of God. The words written by Paul in his letter to the Galatians, who had this same false teaching to meet, makes clear the difference between those who are children of promise and those who are Jews in name only. Paul illustrates the truth by repeating the life experience of Abraham. Ishmael, the son of Hagar, the Egyptian bondwoman, represents in allegory those who hope to obtain righteousness by their own efforts. Such are the Jews against whom the church at Smyrna was warned. Isaac, the son of Sarah and Abraham, was the child of promise and represents those who accept Christ by faith. But as then, he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. So to the Smyrna church God said, Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. The message was signed by him which was dead and is alive. Christ's sacrifice of life and his victory over death was pointed to by Gabriel as a special lesson and source of encouragement to those followers who would be called to pass through the fire of persecution. By faith, the martyrs could see the crown of eternal life held out to them by the Son of God. The message came to Smyrna, a church in Asia Minor, and likewise to the Christian church as a whole, during the 2nd and 3rd centuries. It was a time when paganism was making its final stand for supremacy in the world. Christianity had spread with wonderful rapidity until it was known throughout the world. Some embraced the faith of Christ because of heart conversion, others because of the might of argument brought to bear, and still others because they could see that the cause of paganism was waning, and policy led them to the side that promised to be victorious. These conditions weakened the spirituality of the church. The spirit of prophecy, which characterized the apostolic church, was gradually lost. This is a gift which brings the church to which it is entrusted into the unity of the faith. When there were no longer true prophets, false teaching spread rapidly. The philosophy of the Greeks led to a false interpretation of the Scriptures, and the self-righteousness of the ancient Pharisees, so often condemned by Christ, again appeared in the midst of the church. The foundation was laid during the 2 centuries preceding the reign of Constantine, for those evils which were fully developed during the 2 centuries following. During this period, martyrdom became popular in many parts of the Roman Empire. Strange as this may seem, it is nonetheless true. It was the result of the relationship existing between Christians and pagans. In the Roman world, the religion of all nations was respected, but the Christians were not a nation. They were but a sect of a despised race. When they therefore persisted in denouncing the religion of all classes of men, when they held secret meetings and separated themselves entirely from the customs and practices of their nearest relatives and most intimate friends, they became objects of suspicion, and often of persecution, by the pagan authorities. Often they brought persecution upon themselves, when there was no spirit of opposition in the minds of the rulers. In illustration of this spirit, history gives the details of the execution of Cyprian, bishop of Carthage. When his sentence was read, a general cry arose from the listening multitude of Christians, who said, "We will die with him." The spirit with which many professed Christians accepted death, and even needlessly provoked the enmity of the government, probably had much to do with the passage in 303 AD of the Edict of Persecution by the Emperor Diocletian and his assistant Galerius. The edict was universal in its spirit and was enforced with more or less strenuousness for 10 years. Many Christians suffered death. The sacrifice of a child of God opens afresh the wound made in the Father's heart when Christ was slain. The death of Christ was a sign of separation from sin on the part of him who accepted the sacrifice. Like the smoke from the altar of incense in the sanctuary service, a life given for the Savior becomes a sweet savor in the sight of Jehovah. Smyrna means myrrh, or sweet scent. This name is applied to those who willingly offer their lives for their faith. The mercy of God is shown in this message in a most wonderful way. For although some doubtless suffered needlessly and brought persecution upon themselves, yet God does not condemn them for mistaken zeal. This is a message that contains no reproof, and it would seem that the tenderness of our Father causes him to lose sight of the fact that death was sought, because he sees the earnestness in the heart of the one who offers his life. It is the same in individual experience. The overzealous oft-times suffer when there is no need of suffering, and yet God reads the motive of the heart and measures out the reward in accordance with what he finds there. Fellow man may criticize and condemn, but God accepts any sacrifice made in his name. And he says to such a follower, as he did to King David, "Thou didst well that it was in thine heart." He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. The second death is the only death that the people of God need to fear. Satan may bring physical death to the faithful followers of Christ, but they will be shielded from the second death. God's people will rejoice in life everlasting, while the decree of the second death will be passed upon Satan and his emissaries. The Smyrna church immediately followed the time of Christ and his disciples, and was often referred to prophetically in their teachings.